Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thomas, or as we all know, Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas always shows up on the Sunday after Easter. And so he is reliable when it comes to the lectionary, but he's not very punctual when it comes to the biblical text. But Thomas, you see, anchors the season of Easter in this, in the desire for something real, for flesh, for blood. He wants to see, he wants to touch. He wants something that he can sink his teeth into. He wants something to swallow that will fill the emptiness of his heart and his soul. What he doesn't want are Easter flowers and Easter cards. He doesn't want sentimental jargon or the company line of the disciples. Perhaps pictures of clouds and sunrises and empty tombs and promises of better places. He doesn't want any of that. He wants something real. He wants something that can actually deliver what it says. And so he wants to believe in the resurrection, even as his fallen flesh struggles to believe it. And like it or not, you are his twin. You are nestled right next to his flesh. You are him and he is you. Now you may deny this like a little child denying that he is tired or needs a nap, even though he yawns long and big. And by denying Peter, you will swear up and down that you are not that guy, that you believe. That is, right up until you see the sullen and pale face of death. Until the house that once seated three now seats two, or once seated two and now seats one. Until you have a reason to travel to the cemetery, to the dwelling of the dead, your heart leading you to the very place where you feel your life has completely ended, your hand gliding over the face of the cold and chill tombstone, even as death's doubting voice pierces your soul and that's all you can see and hear. The joyous Eastertide, the fact that Christ is risen, is seemingly trumped by something more real. Death. Indeed, a cemetery is a hard place to confess, to believe. The words that you never thought would come out of your mouth come out. The tears you never thought that would fall from your eyes now flood into the earth. You so desperately want the resurrection, even as your fallen flesh struggles mightily to believe it. Even as death's cold grip holds the treasures of your heart and your life, you doubt what he doubts, Easter. Far from an anomaly, Thomas is a frequent visitor and member, parishioner of the church, not just simply on Easter, but all the days of the life of the church. For Thomas may sit quietly in the back pews as questions race through his mind. He's here maybe because he loves his wife and everyone knows that she is a true believer and he is not one. At least not anymore. Maybe he's here because he likes some of the people and he enjoys the company and the breakfast, and he likes talking sports or fishing and hunting. However, his deepest questions, his deepest thoughts go unuttered and unanswered. Or maybe he's here as a young man escorting his mother to church, and then he takes her out for a nice lunch, and they have a good time, and then he goes back home, and he plops down into his easy chair, and returns to the swirling thoughts that he has in his mind and the emotions of what he considers to be the real world. Or maybe at one time he did believe, but too much of life has happened. Terrible things have happened. Unspeakable things have happened. Whether it be the death of a child or a divorce, a terminal illness, tragedy in whatever way it comes in this life that now has him just not believing much of anything anymore. For Easter, he feels, is for only those who really believe. And he's not one of them anymore. Or maybe he's like that teenager who is dragged into church by his parents, by a bow tie, or by some sort of leash. And he endures all the shouts of hallelujahs and the breakfast and all the pomp and circumstance, but he isn't really persuaded by any of it. The sermon, the trumpets, the flowers, all of it. He just can't see it. How shall the dead live, and with what body shall they have? It's impossible. He's simply waiting for it to be all over. You think that the Bible is immune to such talk of doubting, you're wrong. And if you think that Thomas is just a skeptic, kind of like Richard Dawkins or some other, or Bill Nye or somebody like that who needs just to get with it, or it's just off his rocker, though they are, you're wrong. If you think that the people I've described in very general terms don't exist in the church or even in the Bible, you're definitely wrong. And if you think that you can't easily fall into the struggles of the flesh of Thomas, you're absolutely wrong. St. Paul reminds us, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. But like most things in life, doubt is a moving target. It's hard to pin down. For sometimes doubt can be experienced and rooted in suspicion and saturated in sorrow. Do remember what Thomas experienced. Thomas is heartbroken after witnessing the death of his Lord, a most gruesome death, as are the rest of the disciples at this death, and they are locked up in this little room for fear of the Jewish Sanhedrin. And Thomas is clinging so tightly to the loss. And the secondhand news of the resurrection, that Jesus is alive, just seems impossible. All he hears is a tall tale from his friends. This isn't going to make him believe. He wants something real. St. Luke speaks of the disciples as, quote, disbelieving for joy and were marveling when they saw the risen Jesus. Thus, doubt need not be drenched in suspicion. Doubt can take kind of a tone of wonder. You can wonder even as you struggle to believe. You can marvel at the impossible becoming possible. You can have joy in the promise even though you can't always see it. Perhaps you know the narrative well in St. Mark's Gospel, in chapter 9, where Mark speaks of a father whose child has suffered probably for most of its life from an unclean spirit. The father brings the child to the disciples, and the disciples can't help. Sorry. Then Jesus arrives on the scene, and the father explains the situation to Jesus, and then the father begs Jesus to have compassion upon his child, on his son. That is, if he can help, if he can do anything. Jesus then questions the father's hesitancy to believe. He says, all things are possible for the one who believes. But the rub is this. He believes, but he doesn't believe. He's seen too much. He's seen his son suffer too much. He suffered too much. Every day of his life has been a fight. It's just pure honesty rolls off his tongue. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. The doubt of Good Friday afternoon is mixed with the assurances of peace be with you on Easter morning. The doubt of death is mixed with the promises of new life. The doubt of the cemetery is mixed with graves busted open and bodies awakened from slumber by the voice of Jesus. Yes, darkness shadows the light, but the light has not overcome the darkness, for God is light and He is life. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning, the psalmist tells us. The joy of the morning comes when something so real comes, and it can be heard, and it can be seen, and it can be touched, and it can be eaten. Thomas, you want something real? Here it is. Peace be with you. The voice of Jesus, peace enfleshed in Him, who is the very peace of the world, of heaven. For the joy of the morning comes in something so real that the devil cannot dismiss it, death cannot defeat it, and sin is forgiven by it, flesh and blood. So Thomas, you want something real? Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, Jesus says. Do this often, Jesus says. Your disbelieving is swallowed up in my believing, in my gift of faith that is given in this flesh and in this blood, Jesus says. Eat my flesh, for it is comfort to the hesitant and troubled heart, Jesus says. Drink my blood, for it is the peace of your doubting soul, Jesus says. And whatever you do, do not despise my flesh, for in my flesh is where all your doubts come to die, Jesus says. And do not despise my flesh, for the very flesh from which I have arisen from, I will raise your corruptible flesh, incorruptible, on the last day, says Jesus. Thomas, you are Jesus' twin. You are Jesus' twin. You are nestled right inside of His flesh and His blood. In His flesh and in His blood, you are in Him and He is in you. And Jesus will never deny you or ridicule you because you struggle to believe. Jesus will never shake His finger at you because you fear the worst and you cry out that you can't see the joy of the resurrection morning. Jesus will not condemn you for doubting. Rather, what He wants is your doubts. He wants your pain. He wants your agony of unbelief to be calmed and given rest and swallowed up by His wounds, by His flesh. Because His wounds are His peace, and peace is found in His wounds. So we plead, even as we confess and as we sing, that Jesus grant this balm and healing, that in your holy wounds I find every hour that I am feeling pains of body and of mind. No question, Thomas doubted. He disbelieved. His sinful flesh had gotten the best of him. At the same time, like him, we hold our doubt and our disbelief in so many shades of color. Stubborn, quarrelsome, weepy, crippling, demanding, exhausting. But Thomas also, by way of the wounds of Christ, believed. He wondered at the possibilities that up until he had touched the flesh and blood of Jesus seemed impossible. And so we today grasp Easter most fervently when we, even in doubt, grasp the flesh and the blood that grace our lives with forgiveness, peace, and joy. This sense of wonder and awe that Thomas must have had and that we have at the risen Jesus, that the forces of chaos have not devoured us, and that after the night, day has come, that there is something rather than nothing at all. This great sense of wonder gives birth to all sorts of questions. If we can stand in the awe of the goodness of God, we will think and confess more deeply than those who have forgotten this Jesus. For the person who is filled with wonder and who is inspired to think confesses alongside of Thomas, "Indeed, you are my Lord and my God." In the name of Jesus, amen.